Okay, so good evening to all of you. So now the topic of tonight's share is toys and games on Shabbat. I'm not sure if people are more interested in the toys or the games. Looking around the people who are with us, but we'll try and cover both of them. And I've got a list here of various toys and games that people like to play on Shabbat. We'll talk through them. There might be other things that I'm not familiar with, or that I try and avoid, not necessarily for halachic reasons, but for all sorts of other reasons. I've perhaps missed them out from the discussion, and people can flag them up to me if they want to. By way of introduction, to say that I've primarily used Sefer Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata as my source material for this, and I want to begin by referring to what Sefer Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata says in its introduction to the halachot of toys and games on Yom Tov, and that Shabbat and Yom Tov, and that is that primarily Shabbat was given to Am Yisrael as an opportunity to learn Torah and to engage in spirituality. And that should always be our primary goal for Shabbat. If we've sort of see Shabbat as just a great opportunity to do jigsaws and to play endless games of perpetual commotion or whatever it might be, then we've kind of lost the plot a little bit. And, you know, we should use this as an opportunity for spiritual pursuits. Having said that, Shabbat is also a day of Menucha, a day when we can, it's 100% permitted to engage with our friends and our family and our children, etc., etc. The Shulchan Aruch talks about, you know, going for Tiolim on Shabbat. Is one allowed to go on Tiolim on Shabbat with friends? The answer is yes. If you get enjoyment from it, then it's permissible. So there's no particular reason why toys and games should be any different. But I think it's important to flag up the notion that it should be seen in, you know, within the context of Shabbat being a day of Kedusha and a day when we're, you know, supposed to be primarily engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But having said that, you know, certainly on these long summer Shabbatot, at a certain point in time, one can have learnt plenty of Gemara and plenty of Chumash Rashi and all sorts of other things as well. And one still wants to take a little bit of a break or engage in other ways with one's family. And so I don't think it's inappropriate in any sense to play games on Shabbat or Yom Tov, so long as the balance is right. So let me start by talking about football. We'll start with football, and we'll move on to other things. So in actual fact, there's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Chet about a ball, whether a ball is muktza or not. But the Ramah says, without any doubt, that a ball is regarded as a keli. It's regarded as a utensil that has some purpose to it, and therefore it's not muktza. And that's the way all the poskim hold. The you know, original thoughts of a ball was that maybe it's not a keli, maybe it's got no purpose, maybe it's just sort of like a rock or a boulder, and therefore maybe it should be muktza. But the conclusion is that it's not muktza. But a big question comes up actually with regard to playing ball on a football pitch. What could be the problem of playing ball on a football pitch? So the Mishnah Brura in Simon Shin Chet, that's the halachot of Muktza, but this is where it comes up. He says there's a problem of Ashvuye Gumot, of smoothing out the ground. You can have a a hole in the ground and you want to smooth it out, or you plough, you make a hole in the ground. All these sorts of things could be problematic on Shabbat, and he regards it as being more or less inevitable that as you run along the ground, the grass on Shabbat, playing ball, that this is going to happen. The Shulchan Aruch elsewhere actually talks about running on grass on Shabbat, and says that you're allowed to run on the grass on Shabbat. We don't regard it as a psik reisha, as being inevitable that you're going to pluck grass as you run, because that doesn't necessarily always happen. And then you've got the question about if it's long grass, then it becomes a psik reisha, and running in long grass could well be a problem on Shabbat. But running on short grass isn't a problem. But if you're playing a game, so the Mishnah Brura indicates that playing a game on grass is going to be problematic, because you're making holes and you're smoothing out the holes as you run along. And this is certainly the way that the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata Rav Neufert paskens as well. He says that you shouldn't play football on a grass pitch. But he also says that, you know, if you're dealing with children or unlearned people, mutaf shu shogegin v'alyu mezidin, it's better that, you know, don't say anything. People aren't going to listen to you anyhow. And there's room to be makel, maybe to be, you know, a little bit melamed zechut, and therefore don't protest too vigorously. So that's the approach of the Sefer Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata. And that certainly is a mainstream opinion. However, there is a tshuva of Rav Dov Arlozorov, who was the Rav in Katamon till about, I suppose, 25, 30 years ago, and a significant posek in Yerushalayim in his time, in his Shelot and Tshuvot, Shalei Tzion, Simon Yud Aleph, where he discusses the question, and he actually takes issue with the Mishnah Brura on this point. And he says, first of all, he thinks that it's definitely regarded as davar she'ein mitkaven and mlacha she'ein atzricha legufa, meaning that you've got no intention of this in any event. You're running around on a football pitch. You actually don't want the ground to get all churned up. That's to the detriment of the ground rather than to the advantage of the ground. That's consideration number one. Consideration number two, he says that the Mishnah Brura's conclusion that playing ball on the ground is prohibited, and the Mishnah Brura learns this out from the case of playing marbles on the ground, which is prohibited. The Mishnah Brura thinks they're the same thing. He says he thinks they're different things. He says with marbles, you know, you're right on the ground, and you really want the ground to be smooth, and therefore if it's not smooth, you're likely to smooth it out, you know, either with your hand or with some sort of trowel or keli or something like that. When you're playing football, he says that doesn't happen. So Rav Arlozorov is certainly of the opinion that there are good grounds to be lenient about playing football on Shabbat. You know, different people have different practices in this regard. Certainly, I think one should make perhaps an extra halachic distinction between, you know, things which are definitely, you know, prohibited, and things which aren't necessarily definitely prohibited, but, you know, still are not in accordance with Shabbat, in terms of there's a difference between a bit of a kickabout, you know, in the back garden, you know, after lunch on Shabbat with three or four people, you know, changing into your football kits and playing, you know, five-a-side or something like that, you know, and having a Shabbat afternoon league or something like that. One of my kids was once invited to join a Shabbat afternoon league, told he had to come every Shabbat afternoon to be part of it. And I said no. So firstly, I didn't want him committing to going every Shabbat afternoon to be part of it. But, you know, there's a difference between a bit of a, you know, casual kick around, you know, after lunch, and, you know, everybody gathering at a particular place every Shabbat to get hot and sweaty, to play football. And if it's more organic, you know, that's what's happened, you know, that's one thing. Whereas, you know, having formalized games on Shabbat, I think is not appropriate. So that's talking about football. This would seem to be not such a problem with regard to cricket, say. though with cricket, one might have the question about putting in the stumps. Somebody asked on the chat just now, I saw, about playing football, sort of, you know, marking out the goals and things like that. Maybe we should prohibit it because of that. I don't think people, you know, normally mark out goals. You know, when I remember from my football playing days, which weren't very extensive, I think you just, you know, threw a coat on in 2 points and, you know, two coats of the goalposts, so not more than that. Cricket, where you drive the stumps into the ground, that you certainly can't do on Shabbat. If you always drive the stumps into the ground, then maybe you couldn't play. Maybe there would be a concern with cricket to play cricket on Shabbat, because even if you got the stumps in before Shabbat, it would be a problem. I remember in my youth, I used to spend Shabbat very often at the home of a certain very prominent Anglo-Jewish rabbi. I'm not going to say who it was. He was a very keen cricket fan. Shabbat afternoon, they always played cricket in the garden. I remember there was, I don't know if he played cricket in the garden. It might have just been his kids. I don't remember if he played. But there was great simcha when they got this set of wickets on springs that you didn't need to drive into the ground. You just stood them up and they were on springs and they flipped back and flipped up again. And those were their Shabbos wickets. And there was much simcha in that household. Obviously, all this applies in the context of an Eruv. And I can also see a distinction between doing it in your back garden and doing it in a park. Certainly when the Eruvin were set up, there was sort of guidelines, you know, for the Eruvin. I'm just sort of going to glance at it as I speak. There were guidelines set up for the Eruvin, and amongst them I think there was something saying there shouldn't be any ball games in the Eruv on Shabbat. And again, I think the intention there was that there shouldn't be a sense that the zilut de shabta, that we're turning Shabbat into something which is just like a sports competition and such things. I'm just seeing, does it say anything here? No, okay, it doesn't on the main page. I have a feeling perhaps on some of the Eruv pages it does say such things about not taking balls for such games. Here is anything Eruv guidelines, the limits of Eruv in the following activities are never permitted on Shabbos. I see we've got a few people here from Edge who've moved to Edgeware. So the Edgeware guidelines say athletic activities, e.g. bicycle riding, tennis, swimming, skating, ball playing. So that's not going to be permitted, certainly in Edgeware on Shabbat. And again, I think that if people are using the Eruv, are playing ball on Shabbat, that's something which should be limited to the back garden rather than being done in public. But certainly, as far as playing football is concerned, yesh makom lahachmer, there are good grounds to be strict. For Hamekel, people who are lenient, then, you know, I certainly, wouldn't get overly exercised about it. I think certainly, as far as children are concerned, you know, we don't want to make Shabbat too onerous for them. You know, this is a big challenge of parents throughout the generations, I think, on Shabbat, not just in this generation. But, you know, we take so many things away from our children now on Shabbat. They can't go online, they can't play with their phones and all these sorts of things. So, you know, to say also you can't play ball on Shabbat, I don't think is educationally kedai. And, you know, hopefully we'll impress upon them the Kedusha of Shabbat in such a way that in due course they themselves will make that decision that they don't really want to play ball on Shabbat. A lot of the Poskim quote a Yerushalmi and a Medrash Rabbah which talk about a certain place in Judea which was destroyed, Tor Malka it was called, which was destroyed at the time of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, and it says because they played with a ball on Shabbat. So it's not quite clear, you know, maybe it was outside the Eruv they played with it, maybe it was inside the Eruv, but certainly it's reflecting the notion that there should be better things to do with Shabbat than play football. Okay, next question that comes up a lot is bicycles and tricycles. So bicycles has been discussed by Poskim for the past 150 years or so. There seems to be a little bit of a divide between some of the Sfardi Poskim and some of the Ashkenazi Poskim. Some of the Sfardi Poskim from 100 years ago or so testified that in Baghdad and such places it was the minhag to go on bicycles on Shabbat, certainly within the Eruv. Whereas Ashkenazi Poskim were dead set against it. And nowadays, I think even the Sfardi Poskim are unkeen about it as well. Bicycles is a really interesting question because it's not clear exactly what the prohibition is. So a number of suggestions are given as to why you shouldn't ride a bicycle on Shabbat. One suggestion is that just like with musical instruments, why can't you play musical instruments on Shabbat? There's a gezeira that Chazal made, shema yitaken kli shir, that perhaps it'll break and you'll fix it. You know, you can be playing the guitar and a string will break and you fix that string, or even just tightening the string is regarded as metaken kli shir, and that's an av melacha of makeh bepatish, of giving the final blow to something. So this is biblically prohibited. So they said you can't play musical instruments in case you come to fix them on Shabbat. So some people suggest you can't ride a bicycle on Shabbat in case, because if the chain comes off, then you'll put the chain back on, that's fixing the bike, and that's makeh bepatish, and it's a d'oraita. Or if you get a puncture and you fix the puncture, fixing the puncture is less likely. You know, you're on your bike, you know you can't fix the puncture, it involves glue and all those sorts of things. You might just think lifting the chain back on isn't a problem, and therefore it is a problem. Therefore, some people say that's why you shouldn't ride a bicycle. Others say no, we don't make gezeiras of our own accord. We've got to, what's in Shas is a gezeira, and things that aren't in Shas aren't gezeiras. Others say there's a concern on your bike; you might cycle outside the Eruv, which is going to be problematic. Others say it falls under the category of not riding on an animal. You're not allowed to ride on an animal. That's a gzeira in case you might break off a branch to hit the animal with. So you're not going to break off the branch to hit your bicycle with. You only break off branches if you're Basil Fawlty to bang your car with. But otherwise, you don't break off branches when you're riding a bicycle. But it might be sort of fall into the same category. And others say that it's uvdin d'chol. It's just a sort of a weekday type of activity. You know, bicycles are used for going to work and for sports and for things like that. They're primarily used for things that we don't do on Shabbat, and it turns Shabbat into being a weekday. So it's one of these interesting things that sometimes you have it in halacha, something that all the poskim have the sense is prohibited, They're not quite sure why it's prohibited, but it's clear to them it's something that you shouldn't do on Shabbat. And I think riding bicycles is one of those things. There's a question: what about a tricycle? What about riding a tricycle? So I think a tricycle is fine. A tricycle, certain, you know, there's a difference between a bicycle and a tricycle, besides the extra wheel. And the primary difference is that one is a toy and one is a mode of transport. In terms of a tricycle is a kid's toy. And therefore I don't think it's a problem for kids to ride their tricycles. Whereas a bicycle is a mode of transport and therefore it's problematic. So that's a significant difference that I would make between the two. The same comes up with regard to scooters. Though it's a little bit of a question. I say this gently. I'm not mad keen on kids using their scooters in the street on Shabbat. Do I think it's strictly speaking prohibited? No, I don't think it's strictly speaking prohibited. Do I think it's not correct? I think it's not correct in terms of I see the distinction between a scooter and a tricycle in terms of scooters are to get to places, whereas tricycles aren't. You never see, you know, every day I'm walking in the street and I see, you know, mothers bringing their kids, or fathers, we're equal opportunity society, parents bringing their kids to school, you know, and you'll have a 5 or 6 year old on their scooter. That's the way you get to school. You never see their kids on the tricycle going to school, because tricycle is a toy for the back garden, whereas a scooter is a mode of transport. And also very often, you know, you have the kids, they put their knee pads on and their elbow pads on and their helmets on. And it strikes me as that's ziluta de shabta, that it's not properly respectful of Shabbat. Having said that, you know, it's a view I express once in a while. I certainly have never said to anybody they should, you know, they're not welcome at Al Eitz Zion if their kids come on scooters. Everybody's welcome. I appreciate the challenges that some parents have in Bichlal getting their children to come to shul on Shabbat or to come at a reasonable pace, and they want to get out, they want to come on the scooter and start having a fight now about you've got them out of the house, you've got them dressed, you've got them coming to shul, so you've got their snacks that they want to take with. We're running late already. Fine, you know, they want to come on the scooter, you know, there are bigger battles to fight in terms of the upbringing of our youth. So, you know, as a default position, I'm not mad keen on it. You know, I recognise that not everybody is in the default position there. Let's go on to Lego and clicks. So there seems to be a shift in Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata from earlier editions to later editions. Certainly in the latest edition, Rav Neuwirth says you can't play Lego on Shabbat. It's a problem of bone. It's a problem of building, because you put the pieces tightly together. Not everybody agrees with that. It's no proof of anything, but I grew up playing Lego on Shabbat afternoons, and my children also grew up playing Lego on Shabbat afternoons. And I heard from one of my colleague Rabbonim here in Northwest London that he asked Rav Osher Weiss about it. He asked him about playing clicks, but I don't see any difference. Rav Osher Weiss says he plays clicks with his grandchildren on Shabbat afternoon. If it's good enough for him, it's certainly good enough for me. But beyond that, I can't see it being a problem at all. Lego is made to be put together and taken apart, you know, you put it together, take it apart on the same afternoon. The only question might be that, you know, not to build things that you want to leave, you know, constructed, you know, for a long time. So it might be that, you know, children, you know, they play Lego on Shabbat, and within 24 hours it's got to be dismantled. There could be room to be machmir on that. That, yeah, they can build what they like on Shabbat afternoon, but within 24 hours it's got to be dismantled. There's room for that chumrah, but beyond that, I don't think that playing Lego is a problem. Somebody's just asked in the chat, would parents be allowed to play Lego? I'm not sure if that question is, can parents play Lego after the kids have gone to bed, or is it can parents play Lego with their kids? I think parents can play Lego with their kids. I don't see it as being a problem. Again, if you want to be machmir to make sure that, you know, after the kids have gone to bed, that you take apart what anything that you put together. You know, that's the only chumrah I can see as being necessary. But, you know, the whole nature of Lego is, you know, it's a game, it's a toy, that it's not like something which is screwed together, which you have to, screw together, and usually stays there for a long time. You know, Meccano, I don't know if anybody still plays with Meccano, but Meccano isn't a Shabbat game. There's a question about screwing it together. That might be proper, you know, proper building. But Lego isn't. What else do I have on my list? Jigsaws. So I've always felt that jigsaws are absolutely pointless things. I know some people love jigsaws. I find jigsaws absolutely pointless. You've got this beautiful picture that somebody's then cut up into little pieces, and then you have to put all together again, and usually there's a piece missing at the end anyhow. Like, what is the point of it? If I want to see the picture, let me just look at the cover of the box. But maybe I'm a heathen and a Philistine, and perhaps I don't understand really what jigsaws are all about. But I know many people, including my wife and my daughter, who love doing jigsaws. Again, it's a point discussed by the poskim. Sefer Shmirat Shabbat Kichata says one shouldn't play with jigsaws, shouldn't do jigsaws on Shabbat. Why not? So the Rambam says, it's based on Yerushalmi, that kotev, the melacha of writing, doesn't just mean writing words, but it also includes roshein, making images, and making pictures is included. Anything that conveys a message, which of course is what a picture's worth 1,000 words. So it's, I suppose, painting a picture is like writing 1,000 words. So the question is, at what point are you making an image? Everybody agrees if I've got two pieces of paper and, you know, I take a picture, I cut it in two, and I just place the two pieces of paper next to each other, that's not making an image. The question is where you fix the things together so that they'll stay by themselves, and even if they're knocked a little bit, they won't separate. So there's a question. The Gemara in Masechet Gittin talks about ktav shal gabe kippa, the writing that's on a hat or a cap. And there's a machloket in the Rishonim what that's talking about, whether it's talking about letters which are pinned onto a cap, or whether it's talking about writing which is embroidered onto the cap. So some hold that even if you've pinned letters onto the cap, then that's regarded as writing, in which case where you fix letters together, that would be part of the melacha of kotev. That's the way that the Magen Avraham and the Chaye Adam pasken. But others disagree with that. I certainly think normatively one shouldn't do jigsaws on Shabbat. If kids do puzzles, I think there's room to be lenient and to allow them to do so. I gave a daily Halacha Torah talk share on this last year. You can find it, Jigsaws on Shabbat. where I spoke about this point. My maskana was that lechatchila one shouldn't do jigsaws. I said, you know, this time last year we were mamash, you know, lockdown was really strict. There was, you know, you were stuck at home for the whole of Shabbat. You know, if you lived by yourself, you had no opportunity to see other people. And some number of single people did ask me about doing jigsaws on Shabbat. Especially, you'll recall Pesach was a three-day Yom Tov. And I said that, you know, people who are, you know, totally bored on Shabbat in those circumstances, I don't think it's a problem for them to do a jigsaw. Meaning, you know, I don't think now lockdown's lifting that you should invite six friends round to your garden to do jigsaws on Shabbat afternoon. You know, when it was a three-day Yom Tov and people were literally by themselves last year, you know, without anybody to talk to, without anybody to see, and, you know, there came the limit to, you know, how many Perushim on the Haggadah they could read and how many books they could read, and they wanted to do a jigsaw. I thought those were compelling grounds to be lenient. Meaning, I think it's a leniency, but there are times when it's correct to be lenient, and I felt under those circumstances it was correct to be lenient. Another question that people often ask me, again, I think this is more kids-orientated than parent-orientated, about blowing bubbles on Shabbat. Again, maybe parents like to blow bubbles as well. I'm forever blowing bubbles. But that's not a problem. The bubbles are very temporary. There's no boner there. They're and gone in a moment. So there's no problem there with blowing bubbles. Scrabble is an interesting question. So certainly, if you've got the deluxe version where the pieces fit into the grid, then you've got a problem. If you hold the jigsaws are prohibited, then fixing the words into the grids are going to be prohibited as well. Otherwise, Scrabble. A number of poskim, Rav Nachum Rabinovich has a tshuva on this in Siach Nachum. He says he thinks there's a problem. This is something where an activity that usually involves writing is something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. Playing Scrabble is something that usually involves writing. Usually you write down the score, and therefore he thinks one shouldn't play Scrabble on Shabbat. And that's also what Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata says. What about Monopoly? I was always brought up not to play Monopoly on Shabbat. Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata says, Tov lehimana. It's better not to. Because of the monetary aspect of it. In a footnote he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was of the opinion that it's not a problem at all. It's not real money. Everybody knows it's not real money. I saw somewhere, you know, a suggestion that, you know, certainly if you don't call it pounds, call it Monopoly pounds, or give me, you know, 10 monopolies, or, you know, that you land on Old Church Lane, is that it? Old Kent Road, you know, two monopolies, you know, instead of £2. Maybe that's the way to play on Shabbat. I have to tell you, that's, as far as I'm concerned, Monopoly's not a Shabbat game. Monopoly's a Motzei Shabbat in the winter game. As your kids grow older, you'll discover that Motzei Shabbat is for Horim Viladim, followed by Monopoly. That's what the long winter Motzei Shabbat are for. And you can have a lot of fun with both of those things. followed by eggs in egg cups. Or maybe the eggs in egg cups in between Horim Viladim and the Monopoly. But in actual fact, joking aside, you know, that's, I think that's a very good way to be mechanech your children. That's, that, you know, we spend a bit of time learning and then a bit of time having fun. And both are important to you, and both should be important to the children as well. Monopoly, some people are, you know, machmir not to. We don't play Monopoly on Shabbat. Is it osa? No, it's not. It's not osa. Chess and dominoes. They're permitted, so that's not a problem. Gambling games comes up. Games which are usually played for money, you can't play on Shabbat. The question comes up, what about say backgammon? So backgammon, I think, is classically played for money. I've never played, enjoyed playing backgammon. I've never played backgammon for money. I don't know anybody who plays backgammon for money. So I think there's, a game that, in your experience is not played for money, is not a problem. If you never play backgammon for money during the week, then I don't see why it should be a problem to play backgammon not for money on Shabbat either. Those are essentially the toys and games that I came up with. I don't know if anybody has got any questions or favourite toys and games that you want to run by me that we can talk about. Any questions here? Unmute yourselves if you've got anything that you wanted to ask about. Yeah, wooden train tracks don't see a problem at all. They're not tightly fitting. They're less tightly fitting than anything, than Lego. They're made to be, taken apart, soon after. Don't see a problem with it at all. Ben? Okay, good question here. You're asking about. You're really asking two questions there. One is sort of sound making toys, which could be things with bells or rattles, and then you've got the electronic things, which a lot of these things, they've got an electric sensor in them. The kid presses it and it makes this ridiculous buzzing sound that destroys the tranquility of your life, not only of Shabbat. Adults obviously can't play with these things on Shabbat. If it's a baby, you can let them play with them on Shabbat. Once they get to the age of chinuch, you should be stopping that. So, I'd say a child, certainly under two, doesn't really have a sense of it being Shabbat and not knowing to do things. Many people would say under three as well. You can be makel. I think it comes to, at a stage where the child understands that Shabbat is special and there are special things for Shabbat, and they've got the ability. Where they've got the ability to stop themselves doing things on Shabbat, then you want to start stopping them doing these things on Shabbat. But a 3-year-old, wouldn't have the unless you took the thing away from them, they wouldn't know not to do it. Or even if you told them it's Shabbat, you can't do it, they wouldn't not do it. So I'd say, really under three is, certainly not the age of chinuch. And it's there's no awareness that it's Shabbat really, and that there's certain things that one can't do on Shabbat. So if there's none of that awareness, then you don't need to stop them doing these things. As you say, it's nice, not to have these noises around on Shabbat. And sometimes you get these things that they turn on, and then it doesn't turn off and by itself, and you've left some music making thing out over Shabbat. The kid finds it on Shabbat morning, turns it on, and then you've got that noise driving you insane for the rest of for the rest of Shabbat. With very little kids, you certainly don't need to worry about these things. Yes, supplementary. It's an interesting question you're asking. It is really lovely, that kids you know, love playing with these things, and you know, they get excited about a Sefer Torah and such things. It's not Sefer Torah in any sense. You're 100% right, you know, but it's, you know, what you're saying, that you feel uncomfortable that he wipes his nose on it and sits on it. I think that's, you know, a matter of sensitivity. I'm not going to say that you know, we shouldn't give these things to kids to play with. It's not, you know, it's a picture of a Sefer Torah at, you know, at most. You know, if you've got a sensitivity that you don't like that, then that's a very noble sensitivity to have. I don't think you should make him cry about it. You know, yeah, these things, you know, sometimes bother me a bit as well. You know, we should be teaching our children these are not just things to love, but these are things to revere. Maybe in our generation we need to teach them first to love these things and then to revere them. You know, we live in a complex world, and I think, you know, with the challenges facing the education of our children going forward, you know, if we can make them love Judaism before we make them fear Judaism, that's probably a long-term good thing. Somebody asked, what about old cell phones and things like that, which of course were mukta and have now become designated as toys? Yeah, they're designated as toys. It's not a problem. That's what they're designated as. Any other questions? Okay, I mean, listen, you look in your toy cupboards, your games cupboards, there are, you know, dozens of games that one can play, play on Shabbat, have lots of fun with, you know, which don't, raise shilas. And as I said at the outset, you know, it's a matter of getting Shabbat into the correct context. We want to, enjoy Shabbat. We want to, you know, relax on Shabbat. We want to, it's not just, you know, for kids. Sometimes, you know, playing games, you know, with friends is, and adult family, you know, is a fun and enjoyable, thing to do, a way of interacting, an off chance that you never get, during the week. It shouldn't be the, sole, way that we, the sole thing that we do on Shabbatot. You know, Shabbat should be, you know, for learning and menucha and all these other things as well. I've just had the question now, is it permitted to use the sand timer that comes with Articulate and other games? There are certainly poskim who say that you can. It's just made for you know, for that purpose, for a game. Personally, we're machmir not to, but I heard in the name of a distinguished posek that he doesn't think it's a problem at all. So I'm mevatel my dart. Yeah, we use a watch, but it usually gives you an extra 10 seconds or sometimes an extra half a minute because nobody notices. Yeah, it's only, you know, for a game that you're using the timer. So there are certain things you can use a timer for. I've been wondering about getting a 3-minute timer for the Friday night drosha, and using that on the bimmer to make sure that I don't overshoot on the late summer Friday nights. Okay, Ad Kan. Lovely to spend time with everybody. Next week, I'm not giving the shir, but we have Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon.